This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, we roll into hour number two. Barton Hahn, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. We do have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, and we will get to them. A lot of people, again, this is one of those topics that does conjure response, and we prefer the intelligent one. We are getting some dumb ones, and we expect that, but we will filter them out, and you certainly will deal with us if you are bringing it that way today. Giving you the gas. Absolutely. But we also have some, you know, more games to talk about as well, and we will do that momentarily. But just to update everybody who is just joining us, again, the Tua Tagovailoa issue from last night where the Dolphins lose 27-15 in Thursday Night Football. But the bigger story, of course, was the second quarter sack where Tua, who in Sunday's win over the Bills looked like he had some type of trauma when his leg kind of gave out after a hit as he was walking away from it. They thought it was a head injury. They turned out, they said, no, it was a back injury, and they sent him back into the game, and he finished the game. And 4 days later, the only sack that was in the game was that one. And when his head slammed to the turf, everybody knew, you could visually see it, something went wrong. He was stretchered off the field, took an ambulance to Cincinnati Medical Center, but then later released, flew home with the team, and Coach Mike McDaniel said, the good news is, it's only a concussion. Those were his words, not mine. And an NFLPA has already had an investigation into Sunday and why he was able to return to the game. And now, of course, more being said about why he was even playing on Thursday night. That part of the story we have for you, and that part of the story we will continue to talk about and get perspective on. But we also have games to talk about for this Sunday and Monday night. And, Bart, let's do a little two-minute drill. Let's just go around the league. Yeah. I'm going to give you some games that I think are ones that stand out to me. And, you know, let's just talk about the different topics from each game. So let's begin. And I think the first game is the first game we'll see, which is the first of the, the London games. 9:30 a.m. Eastern is the kickoff. And it's the Vikings and the Saints. They're already over there, obviously, getting ready. And Jameis Winston hasn't done a lot. Dealing with some injury issues. I guess he has kind of walked through some stuff. But Michael Thomas, by the way, is out already. After seeing what happened last night, and with Jameis telling everybody that he's got fractures, plural, in his back, should the Saints just tell Jameis you're sitting this one out?
That's a tough one. I would say that. And it also brings up the issue of Justin Herbert playing with the rib issues.
The ribs, yes.
Like, what type of risk are you comfortable with if you have pivotal pieces of quarterbacks or to your team that's in a vulnerable position? But, you know, for the Saints, it's one of those things, right? They're 1-2. They look at what happened to Tampa. They lost one. They're looking to try and keep pace. And it's kind of all hands on deck. But I think you got to try and win this game with Taysom Hill and see if you can steal one by winning an ugly football game simply because your defense is Super Bowl level or Super Bowl ready. So you have to lean on them and hope that you can just buy some time for Jameis to heal up. Like, it's crazy. Like, games don't really coincide with how things normally heal. Like, normally, I need a month or two. That's five games. Like, people say, oh, he'll be back next game. You're telling somebody to heal up and be healthy in 6 days. That's impossible. Nobody in the league is Wolverine.
Well, the Vikings are the favored team here at 2.5 by Caesars, but a very important game, if you think about it, for both teams, just record-wise. Very important game. Okay, we move on. We continue. A little two-minute drill here. Barton Hahn going through the games for week four, and this one. I mean, I know you're going to be locked on this game. Bills-Ravens in Baltimore. I mean, it's Lamar versus Josh. Think about this. Of all the quarterbacks taken in that draft, who knew that these two would end up being the two best? One taken 7th, one taken 32nd. And who knew that, you know, these two guys, could they be the two best two-way double threat?
Dual threat quarterbacks.
I mean, how else would you phrase it? Quarterbacks in the league, but not just for now. I mean, they're up there amongst the all-timers, especially Lamar.
I mean, Lamar Jackson's already broken Michael Vick record, and we remember how we looked at Michael Vick as like a amazing weapon.
Yes.
And he's just scratching the surface. And this is going to be a duel of two quarterbacks that, if if they both stay in the division for a long time, I know Josh is slated to be in the division for a long time in the AFC, and I know that, you know, Lamar is hopeful, but man, you talk about the duel between those two.
AFC for a long time could be between these two guys, right?
And then you still have guys like Joe Burrow, but it's going to go through
these guys.
Don't
forget about Patrick Mahomes, who's also still in the AFC, right?
So, and Deshaun Watson, when he comes back.
Deshaun, wow.
And Lawrence.
Special. And you love Trevor Lawrence, right?
Okay, Zach Wilson? I snuck that in.
Yeah, Wilson. Nice to see that Zach's going to play. But anyway, so the Ravens are the host team in this one. And it's, again,
tough environment to play in that stadium as well. I mean, you talk about the Buffalo Bills are coming into this game limping, right? They have a lot of injuries. No. Micah Hyde. Poyer's questionable.
But here's what I was getting at. The Ravens are the home team, right?
Yeah.
The Bills are favored.
And they should be, because that Ravens defense has been hot garbage. Okay. I don't recognize that secondary. And you talk about Josh Allen being able to exploit. I think whoever has the ball last wins.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, but it should be a classic.
We move on to more games to talk about as we go 2-minute drill around the NFL with Bart Scott. It is this game, I already bookmarked this game when I saw Week 4 schedule. I was like, this, and you've mentioned it already, so let's get to it. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Philadelphia Eagles, and it is, of course, the return of Doug Peterson back to Philly, where he won the only Super Bowl in franchise history. I wonder what kind of reception he will get. Things did not end well for him there, but still, he did win them their only Super Bowl. But also, don't sleep on, as much as we're praising Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, don't sleep on Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville, and also that defense. The Eagles are favored by 6.5, according to Caesars. Do you think it'll be a closer game than that?
I think that I'm picking Jacksonville. This is my upset of the week. I mean, in Philadelphia, everybody's riding high. Nobody separated themselves from the pack. I think everybody's kind of had a dose of reality, knowing that it's going to be a scrap every single week. Every time you go against a team, you can't take anything for granted. And the reason why I say I think that, you know, Jaguars can win, because if you ask yourself, if you're starting an organization, which one of these two quarterbacks would you want to be your quarterback?
I think
people would say Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is a better college player, and I think he's going to be the better professional player. But right now, you can't deny that the Eagles have arguably probably the best roster in all of football. Let's see if that's enough to get them by the pesky Jaguars.
Pesky. All right, we continue. Let's go continue around the league. 2-minute drill of the best games on Sunday. AFC South. Somebody's got to win it.
Jacksonville.
You're right. But it's usually the Titans or the Colts. At least that's how it's been over the last couple of years. Yeah. They face each other as teams that are in that, you know, desperation mode. Now, the Colts got there. Their O had to go, and it went.
Yeah.
They needed that win, and they got it. But this is at Indianapolis. And, I mean, I saw something amazing, by the way. The running back, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Shefty said he sat out practice on Thursday. It's the first time he's ever missed a practice since high school. Like, not even in high school did he miss practice.
Sounds like me.
Were you that way, too, no matter what? Like, nothing stopped you?
Yeah, I only missed one game in my career. And that's because I asked you, because I had a bye week because I had – no ligament in my big toe, but I played 13 games with it, but never mind. Yeah, I understand where he's coming from. This game features two of the best running backs in the game. Now, understand, last year, it was no question. It was King Henry. He lost his belt pretty much on the scales. He got injured, and Jonathan Taylor took advantage of the spotlight, and he hasn't quite been ready yet to give it back to King Henry as the best running back in the business. King Henry knows that he's going to have to carry this football team as they try and make the adjustment for Treylon Burks to be able to kind of mature a little bit and replace A.J. Brown. So he doesn't have the protection that he has because Tannehill can't make you pay the price if you bring that eighth man in the box because he doesn't have a true number one yet. But I tell you what, the youngster is coming. He's coming fast. But King Henry understands the assignment. I can't wait to see these two guys duke it out and try and make a claim that they are the best running back in all the land.
All right, just want to make it clear. Again, missed his first football practice due to a toe injury. He never missed a practice at high school, Salem High School in New Jersey, or at Wisconsin, or with the Colts. It is truly amazing. All right, let's get one more in as we're going around the league. And, of course, I have to get this one because this is the Sunday night game. It's the Chiefs and the Bucks, Mahomes and Brady facing off again. Brady gets Mike Evans back. How about this game? It's a good Sunday night matchup, and it's a pretty much a pick 'em. Although the Chiefs, they are the ones that are favored, but it's, again, it's laying one.
Yeah, I don't understand how they're the favorite. Like, remember, this is the first matchup since when? The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl in which, you know, I know I was arguing this same topic with Marcus Spears, and he was saying, well, they didn't have their offensive line. Well, I'll tell you what. Since the Super Bowl, and since they showed you what the game plan was, how you slow down Patrick Mahomes, that defense has gotten better. Since the Super Bowl, and since the last time they faced each other, the Kansas City offense has gotten worse. So you tell me that the defense is better than it was when it shut Mahomes down in the Super Bowl, and the Kansas City Chiefs' weapons are worse. So I'm going to go with the GOAT. I'm going to go because for everybody, well, that doesn't mean anything. Tyreek Hill's there, but they still have all these weapons. Like I said at the beginning of the season, there's nobody there that you respect or that you're afraid of. You're going to flat foot. You don't even know who you're going to put your best receiver, your cornerback on, because they don't have a true number one outside of Kelce. We've seen in the Super Bowl, we watched Lavonte David and Devin White shut down Kelce with the linebackers. If you can shut down Kelce with two linebackers, that means you can double everybody else if you have to. So I'm going with, you know, the Buccaneers because I think their defense can shut down the Kansas City offense, who only put up 17 points last week against a worse outfit.
Sunday night game in Tampa. And remember, they're playing that game after, of course, all the devastation down in Florida on the Gulf side, especially on the Gulf side. And while we're thinking about that, of course, I do want to shout out Michelle, who is an avid listener of ours. She tweets us all the time. From the Fort Myers area and letting us know, just sending a couple of videos there on Twitter, that she's okay, although doesn't have electricity, doesn't have running water right now going through it. So, Michelle, she's listening as best she can, she said, with not a lot of power. But we appreciate you, Michelle, just for checking in because we certainly were concerned about you and a lot of our listeners down there in Fort Myers.
And the Glazers did a good job. They donated $1 million to that area. Tampa really wasn't, I don't think, affected nearly as much as the other areas. So I hope that money goes to Fort Myers, Naples, the places that were really negatively affected.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, we still have your calls to get to, as a lot of people want to get into this conversation regarding Tua Tagovailoa and who, again, is responsible, who is liable, what decisions were made, and were the right protocols followed. Should we even reconsider them? And in 30 seconds, we'll get perspective from the medical field on that. But first, I'll give you this word from LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Creating a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs is simple, easy, and takes just minutes. You add your job to the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile, and you spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Bart. LinkedIn.com/Bart. To post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Bart. 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 I don't know why the camera won't come on, man. I think Renee sabotaged the screen. I can see you, but I can't get the camera to come on for me, man.
Well, we're not on Plus today. And that. as we told everybody yesterday, we are on the ESPN app starting Monday.
Yeah, man.
So it's like you don't have to go find us on Plus. You don't have to go searching. No. You got the app on your phone. You got it on your tablet. You right there. You find Bart and Hahn. It's like the little watch thing, right? You hit the watch part, boom. And up we come, and away we go.
So just that simple. Just that easy.
Yeah, it's so much easier. Again, you can take us everywhere. That's the whole idea, and you can listen to us. So there's no excuses. That's what it is. It's no excuse listening. We take all the excuses out. That's the business we're in, removing excuses. And the business we're in also is to talk sports. And we're going to do that now at the topic of the day, Tua Tagovailoa. And of a lot of reaction that came last night from various places, of course, you saw a lot of players tweeting about this, former players, current players, the reaction to what they saw, because it was such a jarring moment. It was like, it was to see his hands, his fingers do what they did, to see the stretcher come out, to see him stretcher off. And when the crowd is cheering, a lot of times, Bart, when somebody's coming off on a stretcher, you'll kind of see the thumb come up or the hand, like, just acknowledge. There was nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
And that just made you feel sick to your stomach. And some of the reports saying, well, he was responsive, could feel all extremities. Okay, good.
He's that, in good spirits. Man, good spirits. Come on, man.
Like, no, there's that too, right.
Stop that.
But of several reactions you saw, there was one from a guy named Chris Nowinski, who is got his PhD in neuroscience, and he's a founding CEO of Concussion LF. And he tweeted the video, and he said, "This is a disaster. Pray for Tua. Fire the medical staffs and coaches." He said, "I predicted this, and I hate that I'm right. Two concussions in 5 days can kill someone.
Yep.
This can end careers.
Yep.
How are we so stupid in 2022? And it was, you know, it's a tweet that, in fact, a lot of people, it got a lot of attention. And we thought, what a perfect time to bring him in and talk to him about this and more, considering his background. So Chris joins us right now. And thanks for giving us a few minutes here, Chris.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Hey, Chris.
Go ahead, Bart.
No, Chris, when I first heard them diagnose it as a back injury, me knowing the protocol, knew that they were doing that because on a short week, they can't put him through the proper protocol, which is usually when you have a concussion for them to go back to your baseline testing. But then for them also, you have to have a workout where you see, and a lot of people don't know that when you have a concussion, sometimes you work out and it brings back the symptoms. I think they did that for his back, so because they knew in a short week they wouldn't have practice because you usually just have walkthroughs. So it started with the misdiagnosis there. When you watch the video and you see the impact of his head, if you recall what happened in Buffalo, it's the exact same side of the head. Can you explain to our listeners, you know, what a concussion is from the base level as far as the brain and all that stuff, and, you know, what the symptoms are and the dangers of having a concussion in the same spot?
So a concussion is a traumatic brain injury caused by rapid movement of the head or energy to the head. And it causes changes in how your brain functions. And now we also know in most cases it's causing physical brain damage that your brain, you know, you'll never get back those cells, but you try to work around the damage so you can get back to normal functioning. And then too many concussions and some of those symptoms become permanent. Two concussions in a row, and you're talking about not only death from second impact syndrome, you're talking about potentially chronic symptoms because you're taking cells that are injured and would have recovered, and you are killing them. So, I was interesting. I think you're right about that they were trying to game the protocol, but I couldn't believe that they didn't actually believe he had a concussion. So they didn't just hold him out the rest of the game on Sunday. And once they put him back in, so that was completely inappropriate. But then I thought they would at least smarten up in Lyons that the back injury's lingering, so we're not going to play him 4 days later after an obvious brain injury. But they did. And then I thought maybe the NFL is going to step in because it's so obvious to everyone what a train wreck is on its way, that they would tell the Dolphins, like, what are you talking about? Like, he clearly showed 5 unique signs of a concussion after he fell and hit his head, including falling down, which should mean he always has a concussion. And that didn't happen. And so, I tweeted before the game, when I saw the NFL promoting Tua versus Joe, like, this is absurd. He shouldn't be playing. And, the fact that he's playing could ruin his life or kill him. And we remains to be seen. He survived, thank God, but it remains to be seen, if he plays again or he can play again at the same level, because I'm somebody who's had retired from too many concussions too close together when I was with WWE, and I've never been the same.
We're talking with Chris Nowinski. Again, he would know, and he's also the CEO and founder of Concussion Legacy Foundation. He's a neuroscientist, and we're talking about this injury that Tua took. And you mentioned the 5 signs. Can you tell me what were the 5 signs that you saw?
Yeah, go back and watch the Sunday concussion. So he grabbed his helmet when he's on the ground in pain, which is a usual sign of concussion, but not always. So you can give the benefit of the doubt. But then he gets up and he takes a sideways step and a backward step because his balance is off, which means you want to pull him out and evaluate him. But then he shook his head side to side in a classic shake off the cobwebs, which you never do unless you have a visual disturbance caused by a brain injury. So that one, to me, you never put it back in. But then he fell. And a gross motor instability, according to the NFL's protocol, says you never put him back in. And there's this just gigantic loophole unless you say it's another it was another problem, like his shoelace was untied. And then the fifth sign was that he, when he got up, he was going to fall again if his teammates weren't holding him up. The fact that that all happened in 10 seconds, that somebody's not convinced that's a concussion, is that there's a lack of training or a lack of care for him as a human being.
So how do we rectify the situation? How do we assess the proper blame? And who do we assess to? Is it the independent neuroscientist that's supposed to be independent? Is it the medical staff of the Miami Dolphins? Like, how do we assess the proper blame and punishment?
The NFL is going to get to try to get us to focus on blame and focus on punishment so that we have a side story and not focus around is Tua okay and what's happening to him. So expect that to come. But frankly, this is a failure of everybody in the Dolphins organization and everyone in the leadership of the NFL, because this concussion was so obvious. We were all talking about it on social media. The fans were talking about it. Everyone was like, this is ridiculous. You guys were watching it. You knew he had a concussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the doctor obviously blew the call, okay? So that, let's say that happens one every 100 times. Okay, he blew it, but the coaches saw what happened. The ownership saw what happened. They know that Tua is the future of the franchise. How do they not step in and say, well, I know you don't think he had a concussion, but it looked bad to me. Let's give him some time off. So the fact that none of them stepped in, and then the fact that the NFL had all week to step in too, to say, like, you know, let's walk through this video and explain to me where you see him reaching for his back as if he has a back injury. Like, we don't see that. That didn't happen. Like, how are you telling me this with a straight face? So, I mean, it's just the fact that nobody cared enough. And then let's layer on top of that they started an investigation to see if the protocol was followed, and they did not complete it before his next game. Where is the sense of urgency of, oh, God, if they're wrong, Tua shouldn't be out there, and we've got to step in before he might die on the football field from second impact syndrome? Like, the fact that there wasn't enough care to do that just tells you, like, the system is broken. Their hearts aren't in the right place. And if you step back, this is exactly what you'd expect from an organization that now accepts that their game causes chronic traumatic encephalopathy in an absurd percentage of NFL players. It's already published as at least 20%. It's probably at least two or three times that, we'll find out, and it's probably higher than that. And they are still recruiting our children to the game, a game they know causes a brain disease. They've got these new slick commercials of Peyton and Eli Manning that are so fun, and they're recruiting your kid to tackle football knowing it'll give him a brain disease. And in the commercial, if you watch it, they never show kids colliding. They make every tackle a slip and a dodge, so that football seems safe and sanitary and fun. Not recruiting your kid to a game where not only will they eventually get CT if they play long enough, but if they get a concussion, there's no medical staff there to even have a chance at diagnosing their concussion and keeping them out. So it's, I think we have to start taking a look at the NFL and their role in our society right now, because this is a game 2 million kids play, and they're setting a horrible example. I'm very frustrated and angry after almost 20 years of doing this, and this is still happening.
Well, Chris, what's the middle ground?
We got to go, though, Bart. We got to go here at this point, though. It's very insightful. No, we do, because we're all right, way off the break. But
no, I hear you.
Very passionate, right. Very insightful stuff. Yeah. Absolutely not trying to cut you off, because, again, that was very, very insightful stuff, Chris. Thank you so much. I apologize.
All right, take care, guys.
Chris Nowinski again, founding CEO, Concussion Legacy Foundation, neurosciences. Bart, I had to, just looking at the time.
I understand. We can come back and we can discuss what I was going to ask him on the other side.
Yeah, okay, and we'll do that, and of course get your calls as well. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you could trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So just to explain how things work on radio, we were talking with... We were talking in the previous segment with Chris Nowinski, and Chris was making a very strong, very passionate point about the NFL and the risks it's just what's happening to the sport and the injuries that can occur. And he just was very passionate about it. I was looking at the time. Everybody knows we have commercial breaks, and everybody knows that our commercial break right there is one of the longest ones. It's just ridiculous, but that's what it is. That's what pays the bills. If we get out late, it blows up the rest of the hour. Like, it messes up the whole thing. So they're on my case all the time. Make sure you get out at, and there's a certain time, like 21 or 22 on the clock. We were at 24, and it was heading towards 25 when he finished his point, and I was not going to cut him off. But that was when it's like, okay, I got to go to break. We have to say goodbye. But Bart is so engaged in the conversation that he's got a follow-up, and I've got to cut him off and say we got to go. Now, to a lot of people, and I cringe doing it, to a lot of people it's, oh, yeah, cutting him off because he's, you know, criticizing the NFL and he's saying tough things and all that stuff. That is not the case. It was simply, I'm super late, and I've got to stay on time. If this was on television, they would have just gone to commercial, cutting him off halfway through his point. They would have been yelling in his ear 10 seconds, counting him down. But in radio, you have a little bit of leeway, and I gave it to him. But Bart, it's just, you know, those are the things that I get cringe to because, you know.
You get the fake criticism.
Trying to do the right thing.
First of all, we invited him on our show for his
perspective. For the exact reason, right, exactly, what he said.
Yeah, we've been talking about this subject. I've been talking about this subject for intimate knowledge. So the fact that we are afraid to criticize the NFL, hell, I criticize his parents and his agent. Mm-hmm. So you think I'm worried about the NFL who no longer pays me? So miss us with all the BS, man. Y'all should know by now that we are not afraid to speak our minds and we don't owe anybody anything. So I hate to address this, but we're going to address it.
But also, just so everybody knows, all the producers are up in Bristol. We're in Seaport, and then nobody can come running in from a control room yelling and saying, you know, get them off the air. Like, there's nobody that can stop us from doing pretty much anything. And if you've listened to our show, sometimes you realize that there's a lot of things that we do that
it ain't nobody around.
Ain't nobody stopping us from doing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ben's in Indiana, wanted to follow up on that call. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Hey, so I'm an ER doctor in Indianapolis. I've actually worked on sidelines of NFL games as an independent doc. So, you know, I see a lot of concussions and stuff. And, you know, I think nothing to really add about whether Tua was concussed last week and shouldn't have been playing this week. I don't have anything to add there. You know, I didn't examine him. But some of the criticism, like the way the coach spoke, and the care that Tua got last night, I think maybe, in my opinion, is a little misplaced. I know Bart said kind of it's negligent to let him leave the hospital or go home, and said that, like, post-concussion, we shouldn't let him sleep or get on a plane. But that's really, you know, that was 20 years ago when we did that, before everybody got a scan. And the reason was you didn't know if they were bleeding in the brain. Mm-hmm. So now everybody gets a scan. You know they're not bleeding in their brain. And we don't tell them you can't go to sleep. We don't tell them they can't do stuff like that. You know, it's obviously you take it easy. Don't do things that exacerbate your symptoms. And then the other thing I just want to say about what the coach said. I think out of context, when he says, like, it's just a concussion. That statement out of context makes it seem like he is diminishing the importance of concussion, and that's, you know, that's obviously not what anybody wants to do. But as a, like, physician, I'm watching the game. Tua goes down. He's out. He's clearly not right. He's probably having seizure activity. That's what you're seeing in his hand. Like, he is concussed by definition at a bare minimum at that point. So immediately my first thought was, oh, God, I hope he's just concussed. Because it's really not the worst case scenario. You know, we see people with these head traumas, and it's not a concussion. It's a bleed in their brain. It's like some of them die. And some of them, you know, like the worst case scenario is he dies, or he needs to have like his skull opened or a hole drilled into his head to remove the bleeding. So, you know, concussion, it's obviously awful. None of us want one, want anybody to have one. But in that scenario, as soon as you see he's down and out and like probably seizing, it kind of was the best case scenario. So if I'm, you know, the coach, I'm thinking like, God, I hope he's just concussed. You know, so in the context, I think what he said wasn't really wrong.
Okay.
Out of context, it sounds like a terrible statement.
Okay, so you're a physician, right, and you've been on the sideline. Don't go. What about the what about what happened the week before? Because if we know the signs of concussions, we know everything that Tua did last week was a sign of a concussion. And we know that the second concussion is worse than the first, and it doesn't take – because the brain don't get an opportunity to heal. So if they weren't, if the coach wasn't negligent this week in his statements, he was negligent last week, and the organization was negligent because they didn't keep him off the field before the independent investigation was taken, right? Because they rushed him, because I believe the hearing was supposed to be today or tomorrow. So how is he allowed to go out there? We haven't even been able to see independently if it was a concussion or not.
Yeah, that I agree with, man. I'm not taking any issue with that. You know, I didn't examine him from where we were all, you know, watching on TV. It looked like he was concussed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm assuming their doctors examined him or they went through protocol. I mean, you know, obviously the NFL has a very rigid protocol that they are supposed to adhere to. But, you know, from me watching on my couch, it looked like he was concussed.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, probably should not have been back out there, you know, today. But I mean, you know, again, I didn't examine him.
Of course. And Ben, that I think is where a lot of the emotion is today about that, is just what you just said there at the very end. Now, when it comes to the coach and the wording, I was talking about more from the PR standpoint of, you know what, at that moment, anything that's saying good news and saying only a concussion were probably not the things to say, all things considered, going back to Sunday. That was my point on that criticism. And that is just the usual thing of optics and a professional team and all that other stuff. But, I mean, it's a coach who was just in a moment, and I'm sure he was probably a little rattled. He is a young and inexperienced coach. And then also, Ben, and thanks for the call, and also that insight. For what Bart's saying about being released, we know that the hospital can't keep him. They can't do that. You know, I mean, they can't hold
What's
him.
What's wrong with giving him rest if you're his parents and his agent and his
Well, that's
team.
The part. I want to make that clear. That's the part that Bart was trying to explain, that there were other people that could have said, you know what, let's just make sure.
Let's err on the side of caution,
and,
right?
And that's all Bart was concerned
with. What if we missed the bleeding on the head? If I got him hooked up to monitors and things that can monitor stuff, I just want to make him be able to be okay throughout the night so we can watch him, let him rest, see when he wakes up, is he okay, the symptoms, and then we can send him back. Why? People miss things all the time. Like, you can miss a bleed on a brain. You can miss anything. It can be delayed. Anything can happen. Like, and just to rush him home just so he can be home – is I feel like misguided when
it
I
just bothers you.
And I would have monitored him the entire night.
And it's your opinion. That's what this is. This is simply your opinion as a guy who spent 11 years in that league. You certainly know a lot to have an opinion on it. We have more of your calls coming up. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's get back to the calls. George is in the truck. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
All right.
All right. Real quick, I wish I would have got on before the wish I would have got on before the neuroscientist. It's going to sound like I took his words, but basically, I think everyone is at fault. The NFL, coaching staff, the medical team, everyone is at fault. This kid should have never been on that field. After watching him stumble last week, I said, oh, he's out the game. And then I turn back to the game and I see him play, and I'm like, what?
I was surprised, and then too.
Just watching this week's hit, it wasn't even a hit for him to get a concussion. I've seen harder hits than that. And I'm as a Jets fan, you know, I can care less about Miami Dolphins, but after watching that, man, I was like,
yeah, the human side of it.
The human side is telling me, no way should that kid be on that field. You know what I'm saying?
I think
extremely, extremely upset.
And that's the thing. I think we're all collectively kind of feel that same way. We heard it, you know, whether it was Chris, who we just talked to, whether it was that doctor who called in just in the previous segment, we all have that same reaction of, yeah, it's pretty obvious something was going on here. So if we all have that reaction, how is it that no one on the other side of this thing just said, even if everything checked off, it all checks, but you know what? I don't feel right about this. Right? Like, Bart, like, that's all I'm thinking, is that everything checks.
Yeah.
But I don't feel right about this.
Like, hey, it's a short week. We see guys like Jameis and other people like, oh, short week, we just go, you know, if it wasn't a short week, he would play. We see other players in other positions don't play on Thursday night for less than a severe concussion. So this guy had a severe injury or back injury, whatever you want to label it as. Mm-hmm. You think putting him out there 4 days later is in the best interest of the team and him? Because they could have easily just said, you know, we got Teddy Bridgewater. We got him here for a reason. We're confident that Teddy will do the job. Like, you didn't force, you know, you don't force players back. Hell, they put Xavier Howard out because his hamstring hurt.
But that's what's weird is if we all saw it and just felt like there's something not right about him, there was something not right. It didn't feel right putting him back in the game and then doesn't feel right having him play 4 days later. If we're all feeling that, how is it that anyone on the other side of this didn't just say, you know what, let's just give him the week? You know, like, let's just get.
It gives him. That would have gave him 10. That would have given him 10 game, 10 days off.
2 weeks. It would be 2 weeks from the injury, if you think about it. Like, can we just. Like, how about we just err on the side of caution on this one?
And I don't like how the NFL tried to allow them to reschedule the injury.
Yeah. All right, we're back in 10 seconds. More of your calls.
Bart and Han.
Guys, Bart and Han, we want you to tune into a National League East battle. Here it comes, Bart. The Braves and the Mets. It is presented by Progressive Insurance. We've got coverage beginning at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. A big series.
Been looking for me. Here I go. They called up the wrong man. Should have called up Dom Smith.
Oh, stop. Will you please?
They called up the prospect. They called up the prospect.
Yeah, well, he's a good, one of their top catching prospects. One of their top prospects of in the
entire organization. Yeah, but Dom Smith. Didn't Dom Smith win MVP at AAA?
You keep asking me this, and I don't have an answer for you. I really don't.
Well, damn it, if you don't know, then it happened.
We want you to help people affected by Hurricane Ian. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN, redcross.org/ESPN, to help the Red Cross prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from this disaster. Your donation, it enables the Red Cross to prepare for, respond, and help people that recover from it. It will provide people and communities affected by this devastating storm with food and shelter, relief supplies, recovery planning support, and other assistance. We know people in our listening area, in Fort Myers especially, but that whole area down there where we, our show is on the air down there, and we do hear from a lot of people down there during the last couple of years that we've been on. We're caring about you. We're thinking about you, and certainly the Red Cross is a way that all of us listening, all of you listening, and us, of course, talking, can do what we can to help in the recovery effort and to make sure that those who are there have a lot to deal with, and we don't want them to feel like they're on their own doing it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The calls continue. Roe in South Carolina. Roe?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm trying to keep this short. I agree with everything that's been said. I'm a physician myself in South Carolina. But just to quickly go down, I was surprised to look at the NFL's website to see that there's a lot of people to be blamed, not just from the Dolphins sideline. Real quick, each team in the sideline has a team doctor, a head trainer, an unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant, a backup, one of those, a booth athletic trainer, and a visiting team medical liaison. On top of all of that, they have a booth unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant. Mm-hmm. And by my count, there's 13 people that are allowed to say, hey, this guy has a no-go situation and he needs to be evaluated. And so getting back to the initial lie or mistake that was made, which was allowing him to play again against the Bills, each one of those 13 people should be allowed to intervene. By the
and I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I think if once you go into the tent, it's only a couple people there that can the spotter. Everything goes down to the neuroscientist that's on the sideline because they take them in the blue tent. They evaluate them. If they pass the test, they make the determination if they have a concussion, if they should go into protocol, if their helmet should be taken. So really, right. It may be 13 people that can blow the whistle, but only two or three people making a decision.
Yeah, and of course, again, it goes back to not one person thought that they should say, maybe we should give this some time. We have more of your calls next.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.